Welcome to It's About Florida, a weekly discussion program tackling the key issues and topics of interest to our state. I'm Tramell Gomes. State Representative Scott Randolph describes himself as a minority of the minority party. He says Republican tax policies, which involve reducing taxes for corporations and shifting the cost to the middle class, aren't working. And he says Democrats are typically shy about talking taxes. Randolph is not. He talks with our chief legislative news producer, James Call, about helping the public to re-engage in democracy, the biggest issues with our current tax system, and the direction he'd like to see Florida's tax policy take.
Scott Randolph, representative from Orlando, you have an alternative view about Florida's tax policies.
Well, I have an alternative view that we should stop shifting taxes to the middle class like we've done for the last decade.
This is your sixth session in the legislature and the sixth time that the legislature will slash billions of dollars in state spending.
Yes. Unfortunately, my first year was when the cuts started, and they continue to this day.
Did you imagine that your career as a Florida lawmaker would be spent in cutting spending for hospitals, for schools, for public safety, for environmental protection? Is this why you came to Tallahassee?
Well, it's not why I came to Tallahassee, but, you know, and really probably really not until the second or third year of these cuts that I really got into the tax structure of Florida. And now as ranking Democrat on the Finance and Tax Committee, I've been on the Finance and Tax Committee almost the whole time here, and you really start to see how Florida tax system has become regressive and has really shifted taxes over to the middle class and the working class.
Since 1999, the legislature has followed a small government, low tax policy. Leaders said that it would produce jobs and economic growth. What is your verdict?
You know, everybody can say, oh, but look, we grew so much in 2000, 2006, but that was really a national trend anyway. It was very good economic times during that time period, and much of it was driven by the housing market, of which Florida obviously boomed. But during that same time, for the most part, middle class taxes didn't go down. In fact, taxes were shifted over to the middle class and to working people as corporate taxes were slashed. So for the last decade, they've slashed corporate taxes. Those tax cuts for corporations cost us about $4 billion a year. And at the same time, they shifted that tax burden over to property taxes. Education used to be funded by, you know, corporate taxes and those type of things. From 2000 to 2010, we saw such a shift in that education spending was then shifted over to property taxes. So your property taxes, all those increases were because they were shifting those taxes over to property taxes. That was a huge shift. So in that decade, they cut $14 billion in corporate tax cuts. And again, it now costs us almost $4 billion a year. And so your and mine taxes haven't gone down. When they say tax cuts, they don't mean us.
Just by definition, there are more people in the middle class and in the working class where the tax burden has been shifted than in the upper class and than there are corporations. This is all done out in the open. We're an open society. This was all done out in the open with people saying, this is what I'm going to do if I go to Tallahassee. And they've done it. So why are people surprised? Why are people complaining? Why did they not notice what was going on?
I think people are finally starting to get, the voters are finally getting the idea that elections have consequences. Tax policy is not something that gets a lot of attention. You know, we talk about it on the high level, the 5-second soundbite, less government, lower taxes. But I go back to, when they say tax cuts, they don't mean you. They have handed out corporate tax cuts. They got rid of the millionaires tax cut, the intangibles tax for millionaires. And all that shifted that tax burden over to the middle class. And what wasn't shifted was just eliminated. We are seeing the result of that. And we would be, regardless of what all people want to gripe about, the state of Florida would be in serious, serious problems without that recovery money that came in 2009 and 2010 and 2011 budgets that propped up schools, road construction, and healthcare in this state. This state took $12 billion. And if you think the education or cuts are bad now, imagine what it would have been with probably an additional $6 billion of education cuts in the last 3 years had it not been for that recovery money.
So you talk about the $14 billion in tax cuts over the past 12 years or so, and they were sold with the promise that they would create jobs and produce economic growth. But former U.S. Senator and Governor Bob Graham points out that between 2000 and 2010, the increase in the number of jobs in Florida was less than half of what it was in each of the previous two decades. And personal income per capita has gone down in the state compared to national average. Make the connection for me. How does the state tax policy and lower taxes, how does that have a negative effect on me trying to find a job?
Well, first of all, let's address the tax cuts to corporations will create jobs. Look, what creates jobs and why a business will hire is because they have demand. And that demand is going to come from consumers. So handing out a corporate tax cut that would give a corporation even an extra couple of $1,000s, they're not going, even if it was as high as $5,000 or $10,000, they're not going to go out and hire a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year employee because now they have $10,000 more, even if it was high as $10,000, because they're not going to hire someone to sit around and twiddle their thumbs. They're only going to hire people if they have demand. And so I think it's actually been worse. You actually lose jobs by focusing on corporate tax cuts because the cost of that is you're shifting that those taxes over to the middle class and the working class, and you're driving down demand. And without that housing market boom, Florida would have been even in worse shape than what we were, with per capita income going down, the number of jobs created. The housing market really propped up Florida for the first half of this decade. And so the connection there is for people is, as those taxes get shifted, the vast majority of people don't see their taxes go down. And yet you have the Republicans and the right campaigning on lower taxes. And so people go, yeah, I want my taxes lowered. But they're not talking about you. They haven't been talking about you. They haven't lowered your taxes in the 14 years that they've controlled state government. The 90% of people's taxes have not gone down. Instead, the big corporation taxes have gone down. The millionaire's tax was eliminated. Those are the taxes that go down. And yet every election cycle, they're able to campaign on lower taxes. They're not talking about you. They haven't been talking about you. But the connection has been that instead, education spending got shifted over to property taxes. The sales tax is barely able to keep up. And so as a result, local governments have tacked on fees and everything else because they keep losing that revenue from big corporations. And so as a result, your services go down. You know, your roads go down. The school funding is stagnated, which is what has happened in Florida. It's not because the vast majority of people's taxes have gone anywhere except for up. It's because we've handed out these corporate tax cuts.
You mentioned services, and, you know, and statewide spending for road construction, public safety, education, and health care have all been cut, you know, over the past 6 years. And thousands of public employees have been laid off. And you're saying that this is all related to the reduction in government spending. I mean, we cut taxes. Taxes are cut. Government, local and state government get less money. So road construction grinds to a halt. School construction grinds to a halt. Police officers, firefighters, prison guards, teachers are laid off. And you're saying that creates a drag on the economy?
It does, but it's not the whole picture. Yes, it has a ripple effect. I mean, there's probably 10,000 fewer teachers in this state this year than there were last year. Now, you didn't read about massive layoffs. You did in some counties, because most counties were able to cover it through retirements, through people taking voluntary early retirement. And so you didn't read in the paper about massive layoffs. But there are 10,000 fewer teachers in this state than last year, and that does have a ripple effect. And the pay cuts that went through, the road construction, all that has ripple effects. But then what you add on to that ripple effect is, so at the same time that all those middle-class workers and road construction, they're seeing their jobs cut, they're seeing their wages stagnated, and you're handing out tax cuts to big corporations to pay that are the – so you hand out the big corporate tax cuts that then force you to cut schools and cut road construction because you've handed out these corporate tax cuts. And yet you're not doing anything to create jobs through those corporate tax cuts because you're not creating demand. You're not creating consumer demand. Look what happened at the federal level. When they got that payroll tax cut and they put more money into the pockets of the middle class, of the vast majority of people in this country, that's when job creation started to take off. And so for the last 20 months, in my opinion, that's been a real driving factor in job creation in this country because it fuels demand. Every time you give a corporate tax cut to Walmart, it ain't staying in Florida. It's going to go into the Waltons' pockets, or it's going to go into shareholder pockets that live in New York. That money doesn't flow back into our economy. But every time that you cut a teacher, or every time you cut the pay of a firefighter, every time you cut a road project, that ripples through our economy. And so we've wasted our options. That's what happens. So you narrow your options for what to do when recessions occur. And so Florida, during the good times, narrowing its options by cutting corporate tax rates and yet increasing taxes on the rest of us, have now eliminated options for the state. And that's why we're in the stagnation and the problem that we're in.
So you seem to be describing that there is a disconnect between a public dialogue, you know, less taxes, smaller government, you know, I'll cut taxes, you send me to Tallahassee. There's a disconnect between that dialogue and reality.
Yes.
What is actually happening.
Yes. Take that back. I mean, when they campaign on cutting taxes, they cut taxes, just not on you. When they say tax cuts, they don't mean you. And again, for the last decade since they got into power, they have cut taxes on big corporations, on the super wealthy, but they did not cut middle class taxes. They did not cut taxes for the 95% of people. So they get away with every campaign cycle going, I'm going to cut taxes. Yeah, they're cutting taxes, just not yours. Just not mine. And as a result, I think they know that it feeds every election cycle. So they're able to get away with it because the vast majority of people go, yeah, you know, my property tax keeps going up. Local government keeps charging these fees. My driver's license renewal and my tag costs just doubled, which, by the way, the Republicans did, $1 billion tax increase that they balanced the budget with on the back of the middle class. And so the vast majority of voters go, yeah, I need my taxes cut. And that guy says he's going to cut taxes. He is cutting taxes, just not yours. Oh, and he's shifting the taxes onto you indirectly.
So you're describing basically a bait and switch.
Yes, that's exactly what's occurred in the last decade.
Okay, so if you're correct, who's responsible for this? I mean, is it the voters not paying attention? Is it the media not explaining it correctly? Or is this what the people of Florida in its collective will want done?
You know, politics have come down to what I call bumper sticker politics now. If it doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, a lot of people don't pay attention to it. And tax policy doesn't fit on a bumper sticker. And, you know, as a result, it's tough for the media to talk about. And there's when you talk about bait and switch, there's a concerted bait and switch. It's not, I don't think that happens by accident. And look, and campaigns are funded by those big corporations getting those tax cuts, billions of dollars into campaign coffers by those same corporations that are getting those tax cuts. And so I think they misinform voters. I think they outright misdirect voters on what's happening in Tallahassee. And I think the media has a hard time catching up to it. It's a complicated topic to discuss. And so you add all that on to the fact that we've come down to bumper sticker politics. This is what you get.
All right. Here's another part of the discussion that I have a hard time understanding. You're a member of the Democratic Party. You're the ranking member on the House Finance and Tax Committee. And so what do you all do about it?
I think the Republicans have gone so far out of the mainstream at the national level that somehow the Democratic Party got afraid to talk about taxes for the last 30 years. And somehow we gave that issue over to the Republicans. And I think you would see that in polling, in public opinion. Oh, yeah, the Republicans, you know, I trust the Republicans more on taxes and finances. And somehow the Democrats were afraid to run on that topic. And I never understood it. For 6 years, I've just been complaining to the Democrats, don't give up the tax issue. We are right on this issue. And we've got to educate voters, and we are right. And I think we're seeing it, like especially with like Mitt Romney. Even Newt Gingrich is attacking Mitt Romney over the tax structure. But, of course, Newt's tax policy is just as bad as Mitt's. You see it at the national level, and I think it's opening the door finally for the Democrats to try to come back and take the tax issue away from Republicans. And that is certainly one of my main goals, is to not give up that tax issue and try to educate voters as much as possible on tax policies. It's not as sexy, but it is a pocketbook issue that the Democrats cannot walk away from.
Very easily, one can go on the internet and go to the website for the Tax Foundation and see how Florida ranks compared to other states. According to the Tax Foundation, Florida generates the least state taxes per person of any state in the nation.
I'd believe that. we've got a regressive tax structure now that relies on property taxes and sales tax. You know, on the plus side of that is that probably 40% of our sales tax revenue comes from visitors, comes from out-of-state residents. And on the other side of that is we don't tax food and medicine. So it's not the most regressive sales tax that can be had. And I always tell people, I can make any tax regressive or progressive based upon who's implementing it, based upon who is deciding exactly who's going to pay that tax. You can make you could make property taxes more progressive. You could make an income tax more progressive or regressive. Every tax there is can be progressive or regressive. So our sales tax isn't the worst. It's really sort of a non-diversification. And as a result, again, it goes back to, I'm going to cut your taxes. And that's what they get to preach in every election cycle, but they're not talking about you. They've not done that. They increased your taxes 2 years ago. In the middle of those budget cuts, they went in and they doubled those license fees. They doubled those tag fees. That's basically a tax increase. And they filled $1 billion budget gap by doing that. And every budget since then has relied upon that tax increase to do that. So the Republicans directly increased your taxes 2 years ago. Instead of going after corporate tax cuts, instead of reversing some of the corporate tax cuts they made during the good times, instead of asking the Sam Waltons of the world to pay a little bit more so we could fund our schools and fund our roads, they came back and they took more money out of the middle class pocket.
According to Forbes magazine, CEO magazine, and Inc., Florida has the fifth best business tax climate in the nation, and far ahead of Alabama at 28th, Georgia at 25th, and South Carolina 24th, which all seems to have a more diverse economy than Florida, seem to have more corporations and manufacturing companies operating in the state than Florida, but yet the state leaders are pushing for more corporate taxes. How do you respond?
It's unbelievable to me because not only does common sense tell you that this isn't working, but the numbers clearly show you that it's not working. If people wanted the cheapest place to live, we'd all move to a third world country. Quality of life matters, and it doesn't matter just to citizens. It matters to corporations. And yes, we have these low corporate taxes, but we also have bad schools, bad roads, bad infrastructure. The quality of life is going down, and it's because we're not able to fund that because we've given out these corporate tax cuts. And so businesses aren't coming to Florida. There's very few CEOs that would ever say, you know what, I made a decision based upon taxes. They make a decision based upon, can I get educated workers? Can I attract good workers because I know there's good schools and a good quality of life and I can attract good employees? And is there demand in that area? That's why we're not having a diverse economy. And so the numbers show that. I mean, we could be number one. And the fact of the matter is, though, you'd be cutting education and you wouldn't be able to find the workers. The quality of life would decline. Parks and recreation would decline.
Well, the Tax Foundation says we are number one. We're 50th in the amount of money that the state collects per person. I mean, we are number
once you throw in everything. So we're the cheapest place. We're clearly the cheapest tax-wise place to live in America. And
we have a million people. And we have a million people out of work.
That's exactly right. And so, again, it goes to how are we going to get them back to work? You're going to get them back to work by creating consumer demand so that business is higher. You're going to attract businesses based upon having an educated workforce that will stay in Florida, you can attract workers to Florida by a good quality of life. You're not going to do that by cutting another $1,000 off Walmart's tax bill.
You're listening to It's About Florida. I'm Tramell Gomes. Democratic State Representative Scott Randolph explains why he thinks Democrats are typically shy about talking taxes. Here is the rest of the interview with James Call.
You know, economist Timothy Bartek with the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research says that corporate tax cuts can generate job growth, but it may take 20 years. Like a 4%, a 4 or 5% tax cut could create a 2% increase in job creation, but it would take up to 20 years because that's the way money flows. It's not an instantaneous reaction. And like you said, you know, $1,000 tax cut for some business is not going to lead them to
to hire anybody.
So why don't Democrats have this conversation?
That's been frustrating when I first got elected. It's like and I would try to have these conversations. And it was, oh, Democrats lose on tax issues. Don't go there. I'm like, really? Because if you want to talk about education, you've got to talk about how are we going to fund education. If you talk about quality of life, you're going to have to talk about how are we going to get there. And people are afraid to talk about government spending. Look, we don't necessarily need a bigger government. We don't necessarily need a smaller government. We need a more effective government, and we need an effective tax code that is fair to everyone and that's able to create a business environment that's fair and at the same time ensures that we have good quality schools and a good quality of life. And so, you know, the Democrats sort of got into bumper sticker politics too and talked about education, talked about quality of life stuff. But it all flows back to how are we going to get there? How are we going to fund it? And I think, again, finally, the Republicans have pushed this issue so far that the Democrats have an opportunity to take this issue back and talk about rational tax policy. Mitt Romney shouldn't be paying a lower tax rate than the maid that cleans his house.
You say that, and earlier you mentioned that while cutting taxes, the Florida legislature increased fees by $1 billion, the driver's license increase, the cigarette tax increase. So they increased fees by, you know, more than $1 billion.
Yeah, well, throw in cigarette taxes, $2 billion.
Yeah, $2 billion. While cutting taxes for corporations, that was done. Then we had an election, and the Democrats lost power. The Republicans created a supermajority in the state house and took all of the executive branch, the governor and the cabinet. So it seems that the people are speaking and they're not buying what you're selling.
Well, I would also say if anybody asks me what's the biggest issue in Tallahassee, what's the biggest issue in D.C., it's campaign finance reform. And when the Republicans outspend you 5-7-1 and the districts are gerrymandered to favor them to anyway, so the districts are gerrymandered to give them a leg up, and then you add on that those big businesses that are getting those tax cuts are funding campaigns in such a way that they're able to outspend us 5-1. And then you throw in that politics have become bumper sticker politics, it makes for a really bad combination. And I always said democracy is not a spectator sport. And unfortunately, we've allowed that to occur in America. And it's really, we have got to get people more engaged in public policy. And we've got to get people to really think about what's going on. So, yeah, when I have these conversations with people, they understand it. But I don't have the money to go up on TV in 30-second ads every day. I don't have a super PAC somewhere to buy $6 million of TV in a week like Newt Gingrich does. And so it's really about, you know, going out there and just trying to get people more civically engaged. And when you do, people understand it. People get it. People, when they see the numbers, because all they hear every, I'm going to cut your taxes. I'm cutting taxes. Yeah, they're cutting taxes. They cut Sam Walton's taxes. They didn't cut your taxes. And, you know, it's frustrating. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a frustrating process. But when people pay attention and when people see the numbers in front of them, they get it. It's just educating people as to what's going on.
So you mentioned that you don't have the $1 million super PAC and you can't, you know, blanket the airwaves with commercials. So you're telling me that the Reverend Al Sharpton won't return your phone calls?
Yeah, I do. You know, I get my opportunities here and there to be on TV, and I try to as much as I can. There's no don't get me wrong. I spend hours at a time talking with my wife and other political strategists. How do I say, ironically, as compared to this interview, how do I say things succinctly in small sound bites? And certainly, I have sound bite politics too, and I have to. You know, when you get that opportunity, do you get the opportunity that you've got to know your audience? Do you get an opportunity to have a 5-minute discussion with someone, or are you going to be on TV and have a 5-second soundbite? And you got to talk about, you got to know how to deliver that message. So it takes the setting that you're in. So I do, you know, I have my opportunities here and there to deliver that 5-second message, and you got to know how to do it, and you got to be on message with that. That's just today's politics.
You are, by your own words, you paint yourself as a minority member of the minority party.
Okay. So probably.
So it's
like the last of the Mohicans without the looks of the soundtrack.
So I was going to ask, do you feel like Don Quixote tilting at windmills?
Yeah, you do. Some days you do. You know, obviously the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But I get satisfaction, though, when I get the chance to talk to people about taxes. You know, it's sort of funny. It's like last year with the whole uterus incident and everything like that, and certainly that's brought a lot of attention to me, and people are excited. You know, I get invited to speak to places, and I always tell people, you know, I have a lot more to say about taxes and tax policy, but clearly that doesn't excite people to get them to have me come speak to their group about tax policy. But you know what? But it has given me the platform to do so. So that has been good. And so, yeah, you know, it is tilting at windmill a lot because you're going up against – there's such income inequality in America now. I mean, we're fifth in the world in income inequality. And when you go up against a bad campaign finance system, you just have to fight every day. Look, change doesn't happen overnight, and you just keep working.
How – you mentioned that we have to get people more engaged in public policy discussions, and how – you know, what have you learned? What's an effective way to gather people into that discussion?
Sort of weird. Despite all of our technology, and you know, campaigns changed when radio came, then campaigns changed when TV came, then campaigns changed when the internet came. All those are obviously tools. But what I have found the most effective politics is that it's come all the way back full circle to the door-to-door, one-on-one conversation you can have with people that really changed elections. I mean, in 2006, when the Republicans spent $1.5 million in my race, and they didn't move the ball one inch. And in fact, I outperformed every Democrat on the ballot. And people go, well, you lived in a Democratic district. Yes, it's true. My district leans Democratic. But I literally outperformed every Democrat on the ballot. And it was because we spent so much time talking to people face-to-face, door-to-door. And that's how – that's what I found to be the most effective. Because you get past those bumper sticker politics then. You get past those 30-second ads. You get past the $6 million super PACs. And you get to talk to people one-on-one about – and what I find – I have an interesting district. I say it should be the proving ground for Democrats because I have old, rich Orange County money. I have the new money. I have a part Hispanic community and African American. I have some of the lowest income neighborhoods in Orlando and some of the highest income neighborhoods. And you go and you talk to those people in each one of those neighborhoods, and they all want the same thing. They all want a better future for their kids. They want a good school for their kids. They want to know that they're leaving something, and they want to have meaning in their life, and they want a decent community to live in. Now, all of them may see different things in accomplishing that, but having those conversations one-on-one, you really get to talk to people, and that's where I find successful politics to be. The Democrats have got to get back to their roots, talking to people one-on-one, and it takes work. It takes being out there every single day to do so. That's how you eventually accomplish that.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you. No, thank you for having me.
Thank you to our guest, State Representative Scott Randolph of Orlando, and our Chief Legislative News Producer, James Call. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. Our senior producer is Regan McCarthy, with technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. Please join us again next week for more discussions about the issues impacting our state. I'm Tramell Gomes.